shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony, Christina.
Welcome, Father.
Nick is here, his parents are here. So I'm a little bit on edge because his mother is a teacher, you know, so teachers intimidate me, you know, for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I just had an academic, a professor, a PhD in my office, you know, and
it's equally always nervous.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
She's down to earth. No. She's human like everyone else.
Right. Yeah.
We're all the same, Father.
Well, but
except if we're in trouble.
In fact, I was actually
I never was in trouble.
I was telling the PhD academic that when I came out of academia, away from the university, it was the people, the parish, they keep me grounded. They brought me off my
pedestal.
It wasn't a pedestal, but it took me out of the ivory tower. You know, not that Nick's mother, because Nick's mother works with teenagers, right? Yeah, she's in really in the dirt of life. Not that the kid's dirty, but you know, you know what I mean.
But that's teenage years.
The real world, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that's exactly what we were talking about, the real world. Middle school kids, yeah. But when you come out of the university, you've got to get back into reality in a sense, in a real sense, I think. And so the people will bring you back quickly.
Yeah, quickly. Life will.
Life will.
Life takes care of
that. Life has a tendency of doing
that. Yes, it does.
So let me ask you, today is the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. It's also hard to believe, but we're basically in the Independence Day
weekend,
yeah. Because the Independence Day is on Wednesday, right?
Of course, but they start now.
But it's already started, yeah.
Exactly.
Because I don't know if you noticed this morning, the traffic wasn't, it's like people are already gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the Independence Day, isn't that on
Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
So how does that? So people already got off.
People take long vacation.
So,
yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's new. That's the new normal.
And that's a good normal. Good
okay.
New normal.
No, I'd say I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you could see this morning there wasn't the traffic.
Oh, the usual Friday traffic.
Nick, did you notice the difference coming in? Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I get it.
Well, that's true. People are away on vacation.
It's the vacation time. And this is the 4th of July weekend in a sense. I think it's this weekend rather than the following weekend, right? Or maybe both. Huh?
It'd probably be this weekend.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you guys do? So there's a couple of things here before I go into the feast day itself. Two interesting articles. One is the epidemic of loneliness. Mm-hmm. In society, that it's a real sickness.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah, why is it?
Just technology.
Technology. That's
what they're saying.
Yeah,
is the culprit.
It's on one hand, people seem to be so connected, but they're really disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of lost in cyberspace. And I think related to that is this other article about Americans freaked out. They want a desperate escape from news.
I'm beginning to feel that myself.
Yeah. So how do you do that?
Good question.
Just don't watch news.
Just don't watch the news.
That's what I do. I've been doing that for a long time.
See, it sounds so easy, but it's not.
It's easy. I just don't watch it.
Well, for some of us, it's addicting, you know? Don't you think?
And I think it's
for guys mostly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
For me, I found that out because when I was in California, and I think it was more so because I consider myself on vacation. So I didn't really, I was at somebody's house, so it's not that I would offer to put the TV on or listen to radio. The only thing that did kind of hurt was the radio, because that's what I do most of the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any of that. So TV is just pure garbage.
But did you? Was that good for you?
Maybe, because people have said, and I feel it too now, that I was a lot more calmer.
Sure. Well, this is a point of
that. That's why I stay away from
But I hate to say it, when I came back, I wanted to know.
Because you want to be informed.
Right. I want
to
be informed.
I mean, it's okay to know, but then, you know,
There's a limit.
It's like, okay, I already heard it, done that. Okay, let's move on.
I think for me, I get my greatest source of news from the radio. I mean, I tend to not really want to watch TV, but when I do come home to relax, yeah, I'll put on news stations and I get that. But I remember a time when I was, you know, just like to pick up a paper, but we can't do that
anymore.
Can't
do it anymore, huh?
So I'm not the guy that gets on the phone and gets all the information that way, so.
I couldn't believe, by the way, you know, when I came back from Rome, I was in Rome for a year. This was maybe about 10 years ago, and it seemed to me this is when it happened, but I came back and I picked up a Tribune or the Sun Times, and I thought, what happened?
It shrunk.
It was like a little, did it really shrink? Like it looked like a little comic book.
It shrunk.
Speaking of, you guys are into the comic books.
You know, price. I mean, who's going to pay $2 for a...
Eventually, there won't be. It just
won't
be.
It'll be obsolete because everything's on the internet.
Yeah. But that's it's knowing when to pull away from all that stuff. And so you... Is it the commentary or the actual news that you...
For me, it's news. I mean, I like the news. The commentary, I suffer through sometimes because it's good to... I like to hear different opinions on things. I like to hear different people say different things. And I can hear Jerry saying blah, blah, blah.
But
I
tend to really
Jerry.
Like that because, you know, I've always been somebody that, you know, you look at an issue and you try to research it by what different people say. And then you kind of throw what you think should be your own common sense, the stuff that makes sense. But I like that. I like that kind of... You know, talking.
Yeah, I do too, and I think that's the reason why. You know, when you try to understand things from a different perspectives, then it's hard really to speak because okay, well this makes sense, that makes sense. Okay, this is there's a truth here, there's a truth there. There's things have been embellished over here. This is fake news. This is how do you distinguish between one or the other? So you try to. Sift through it all, and then you find, which is probably a good thing, that I'm not an expert because I can't really speak to this or that because there's just a lot of different perspectives,
and
different opinions.
See, in your line of work, you couldn't just listen to one. You'd have to listen to the whole thing. You know, you'd listen to all points. You just can't, you know, have one opinion because, you know, you hear different people every day talking different things to you, so it's...
So that's what could get me into trouble in a sense, it depends on what other people are listening to, you know. If one's listening, if you're listening just this side of the issue or that, you know, one or the other side, then you make in a sense an uninformed determination, right? Because you're not perhaps listening to things from a wide.
See, I think for me it was. I tend to be someone that goes with the flow, goes with what people are doing. Now, when I started doing that, I started realizing, wait a minute, there's different sides to things. So I was more curious to know what the other side is. And then, you know, and I think in the years, just getting in tune with my faith, you know, I tend to start thinking along those lines too, because I started to, you know, maybe... determine what the right way is.
Sure.
Not that anyone really knows what the right way is, but you can tell just by what your faith is, what you believe. And that, for me, has helped.
But there is a right way.
There's definitely a right way, but I don't think we as people know that. We tend to...
should know.
You know, we should. I mean, deep inside of us, it's the right way, but you get carried away with the world, you know? And it's just, I think a lot of times people today, too, if they don't have a basis to start at, you know, a point of reference, like you say, Father, a point of reference, then you tend to just, okay, well, yeah, I do this because everyone else is doing this, until you start realizing, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I can see this doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, so if we're not grounded, then things get skewed.
Right.
And yeah. that's what I was, as I was speaking to somebody this morning about this as well, and I think we've addressed it on the radio, but what I react to is the when things get sensationalized
right.
or politicized, and we're not using right reason, you know. So even having said that, as you said, because, you know, okay, we know that we have to keep ourselves grounded, mm-hmm. and so my, you know, this idea or the question of being freaked out by the news, and many people are, and they need they're looking for some kind of an escape.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For me, the escape, it's not really an escape, but it's because I was reading what they do. You know, people will, you know, just recreation or and right. and this is a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. Recreation or sure. your hobbies or whatever it might be, or you know, but I find that when your mind feels like it's out of control because mm-hmm. you got all this stuff swirling around. And again, what is truth? What is untruth? What is real? What is not real? Is this, you know, it, everybody's so convincing,
right.
and yet there's so much contradiction. But it's when I go into the chapel, into prayer,
mm-hmm.
I open up the scripture, then it tends to put things,
right.
it, you know what, it brings a calm, mm-hmm. a peace.
See, that's something, again, that I believe you work on. It's something you work up to. That's what I sit and I think now, how many people are lost to that respect, because when things get so, like you said, the article, they get freaked out. Sure, sometimes it's good to pull away from something, like let's say the news. Sometimes it's good to just walk away and don't, but you got to have something in, you know, something that you rely on, something that, you know, is there to help you. And for me, it's that silence. For me, it's that getting into scripture, just knowing my faith. We get, I think, a normal person in life getting hit with all these different things. If you don't have that grounding, you get lost.
Well, what does the scripture say? Be still mm-hmm. and know that I am
I'm
God.
Yeah. Right.
I am God. That we're going to be, it goes back to the reading yesterday, you know, the foolish people build on sand.
Mm-hmm.
The rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls. There's no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The wise build rather on rock, and the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house, it doesn't collapse. It has a firm, rock-solid foundation. And Jesus is mm-hmm. referring to himself. You know, God is our foundation. And if we're not grounded in God, if we're not following the direction, you know, God has shown himself. We've been taught by God. You know, he's, I think this was one of the reflections. I was looking at a lot of things, but Moses said that the prophetic utterance of many of the prophets that God will come and speak to his people. He will show them the way. He will teach them in his own. It's all in a point to the incarnation, mm-hmm. that the Word is made flesh. God takes on our flesh, and he shows us a way. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, to be grounded, to go back to be steeped in Scripture. See, that's the safeguard. Well, when I say that, you know, we have to be a little bit careful, because we have to steep ourselves in the Word of God, but under the direction of the teaching authority of the church, so that we don't get skewed. Because mm-hmm. it's also, you know, you can take the Word of God, you can take the Bible, and that can... You know, if we're not grounded in sacred tradition, then the apostolic tradition, as it continues to deepen, continue to unfold, no new revelation, but what was revealed is with time more deeply understood, then it preserves that unity that Jesus warned against, you know, on the night before he died. And so our read is, this is what precedes Scripture, is the teaching authority, the apostolic tradition. So the Scripture comes out of that. You know, the church didn't start with the Bible. It began with its embryonic stage of development in the sojourn of the Hebrew, mm-hmm. the Israelites, mm-hmm. right, to the people of the Old Covenant, and then it culminates in the messianic moment in time when God takes on our flesh. He visits, God visits his people, teaches and redeems us, and imbues, we're imbued with the Spirit, and then the mission begins. And so the mission began even before the Gospels were written, before the epistles, the letters, St. Paul, St. James, St. John, St. Peter, before they were even written. The church's mission to go to all four corners of the world, to the east, the west, the north, the south, preach what? Repentance of sin, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we would be his emissaries, that God would be present in the world through the church, which is the sacrament that mediates the grace. And then from that, you know, as time went on, and the apostles are being, they're dying, they're being martyred, put to death, the eyewitnesses begin to disappear, then the need, acting under the inspiration of the Spirit, to write the story, you know, the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But even before the gospels were written, you had the epistles, the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John, and they were they were sent to the different churches, and you know, as the Christians gathered for the Eucharistic sacrifice, for the sacred worship of God and in the Holy Eucharist, then the scriptures were written, or read rather, and even when Jesus speaks about that, he's speaking about the Hebrew scripture. So they're reading from the Old Testament, which was all a prefiguration for the Christ. But then they also then they began to read the letters, as those letters are being passed from church to church, and then eventually the Gospels are written. And then a couple of hundred years later, only then the church gathers in council to canonize sacred scripture, so that what we listen to today is what's been canonized by the church, what has been compiled. This is this makes up the canon of scripture. This and others did not, you know. So how do we get from I guess that's the news we need to go to. That's the good news, right?
Good
there
news.
That's
the good
part.
News of the gospel.
So that we want to be grounded in that, mm-hmm. in order to not lose our minds or lose our heads or mm-hmm. whatever. All right. We'll take a break. Did that make sense?
It does.
Yes, we'll get from here to there. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break, and fascinating, the feast day of St. Peter and St. Paul. We'll talk a little bit about that. I've got an interesting commentary by this Monsignor Charles Pope, who should be the Pope, should be the Holy Father. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really a very wise man. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. The five lessons on faith from Peter's time in jail. Today is the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. St. Paul lost his head. He was beheaded. St. Peter was crucified upside down. Right in Nero's Circus, which is right alongside the Vatican Hill, which was a cemetery. He was crucified there and buried in that cemetery. And when when Constantine was converted, which really brought an end to the persecution, well, in a sense, but in another sense, persecution is always going to be a reality to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. But when Constantine was converted, then he built a basilica over the tomb of St. Peter. And then down through the centuries, you know, there was one, then there was two, then there was three. And it was only in the 1950s that they actually, and they were just doing some excavations, or I think preparing for the tomb of a pope. And in that, it wasn't excavations, but they were preparing the tomb, because the popes were buried under the Basilica of St. Peter. And I think it was for preparing for St. Pius the 12th, perhaps, I don't know, one of the popes in the, at that time in the 1940s, 1950s, up in that area. But in any case, they discovered these the tombs that were even deeper beneath St. Peter's, the Basilica. And so they did these excavations. They got way down in there, did the excavations, and they, in fact, found the tomb of St. Peter. And had the bones taken out and had them examined. They didn't say anything about who this was. Sure. They just wanted, you know, and I think that was under the papacy of Paul VI, I believe. And in any case, the forensic results, is that how, what you'd say? Teacher? Sure. Is that what you'd say? Okay. Came back, and in fact, they... I believe, now this is just coming out of my head as I remember reading it, but that this was a man who was about 58 years old. He had no feet. Mm. Well, St. Peter, he was crucified upside down, and they cut his body from his feet. He wasn't buried with his feet. And but anyway, to make a long story short, it was St. Peter. Yeah, they... And the where the burial was, it said Petrus. Peter, yeah. Buried here, and it's directly under the baldacchino, under the altar, main altar of Saint Peter's.
St. Peter's.
Wow. So there are three, if I recall, three basilicas over the years, over the centuries, built one on top of another, and so it's interesting that. But they never really knew. They knew his body was down there. They didn't know exactly where it was until they did these excavations, the scavi. And they don't advertise it because it's too small, too tight for pilgrims to go down there. But they'll take small groups. And so I went down there, so you can actually see. But it's really fascinating, really fascinating. It just gives a certain credibility to the historicity of the faith. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, so today is the feast day. And then, of course, St. Paul was... beheaded outside Rome, and so the basilica's actually he's buried at St. Paul's outside the wall, but the place where he was actually crucified, or not crucified, where he was beheaded, is I went there for Mass many times. I don't remember exactly the name of the church. It was a Benedictine church, I think. I could be wrong, but it's outside the walls. Mm-hmm. And I actually walked there once. It was a long, long walk. Mm-hmm. But that's the place where he was beheaded. So anyway, today's a feast day. But the reading that the Monsignor Charles Pope gives a commentary on this reading is very, really very interesting. It's because he extrapolates five lessons on faith from Peter's time in jail. And the reading basically is, you know, King Herod persecuted members of the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. And when he saw this was pleasing to the people, he arrested Peter on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, took him into custody, put him in prison under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, wow.
Think about that. He kept him in prison, but the scripture says from the Acts of the Apostles that the church prayed fervently on his behalf. And so the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was secured by double chains, mm-hmm. mind you, mm-hmm. double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers.
No escape.
And outside the door, guards were kept watch on the prison. So, I mean, he was really, you know, talk about...
Yeah, there was no form of escaping.
No mm-hmm. escape. But by the grace of God. Because the scripture says that an angel of the Lord stood by Peter. This light shone in the cell. Mm. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him. And he says, get up quickly. The chains fell from his wrists. The angel said to him, put on your belt and your sandals. He did so. Then he said, put on your cloak and follow me. Mm. So he followed him out. And not realizing what was happening to the angel, he thought he was just seeing a vision. And then he passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened all by itself. And they made their way down a narrow alley, and then finally the angel left him. So that's his imprisonment. So in that, we have the five lessons on faith. Number one, because the Monsignor talks about this as a kind of roadmap to growing in faith. Number one is the persecution of faith, that this is really the normal state of affairs for a Christian, is persecution. And not every Christian suffers in an equal way, but Jesus often spoke about the need to be willing to endure persecution for the sake of his name, for his sake. Because Jesus is what? The servant is not greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. And that's in his farewell discourse, his last words to the apostles after the Last Supper, before he went down to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was arrested. And he says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. It's a nice thing to say, right? But be happy, you know?
Don't worry, be happy.
You're gonna have tribulation, but be happy. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he warned, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets.
Mm.
So I guess the point is, if we're persecuted, if people speak ill of mm-hmm. us, that's a good sign.
A prophet's not accepted in his own land.
Who said that?
I don't know.
Christina?
Came out of a very wise book.
But who said it?
Who was it? Was it Jesus?
St. Peter.
It was the man.
Jesus himself?
Jesus, okay. the man. The man.
Oh, yeah, that's
the main
right.
The man.
St. Peter said it.
The man God.
The son of
the
man.
The God man.
The son of man.
The son of man. The Messiah. So the point is, you know, that persecution should be expected. And if it's completely absent, we have to search our souls and as to whether or not we're witnessing the faith. And so even in that, the sense of persecution,
mm-hmm.
it's, I always go back, I said it the other day, but this stays with me all the time. Mm-hmm. Pope Benedict said that the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we're not directly persecuted, The fact that we have this, as I say so often, this sensitivity to God and to the commandments of God and to all things sacred, mm-hmm. and a sensitivity to sin, yes. we're bothered by the stuff that's going on around us. And going back to what we were saying, I think it was yesterday, about that scene from the movie The Passion, where Jesus was brought before Herod, mm-hmm. and as they're mocking him, as they're laughing at him, as they're expressing their curiosity, mm-hmm. Finally we see this Jesus of Nazareth, and they're, you know, in the den of sensuality right mm-hmm. there, you know. It's just beautifully portrayed in that movie, as they're they're toying with him, basically, and he remains silent. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word, because there's nothing that'll suffice. In a sense, they're lost in their passions. They've given free rein to the flesh. They're not living under the dominion of the Spirit. They're really under the dominion of Christ, of the demon, under the dominion of Satan, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, the prince of this world, the seducer, the deceiver. He creates the illusion. You have to always keep that in mind. You know, Jesus is silent, but he suffers it. He suffers it in silence because, you know, can you get a sense of the feel for that? It just, when you see somebody who's not going to give you an ear, they're not going to lean into your heart. They're just going to ridicule, mock, make fun of, whatever. And so as not to lose dignity, to suffer it in silence, and to offer that suffering for their salvation, which is exactly what Jesus does. You know, so you think about these people, and Jesus, you know, it's soon after that, just within a couple of hours, he's been, I think at that point wasn't he already scourged? He was already,
yes, he was, so, yeah.
He had already been crowned mm-hmm. with a crown of thorns. Yeah. And this is right before the sentence is finally conferred, and he's carrying that cross to Calvary, and he's nailed to the cross, and it's from there. I can think about that, you know. So this is from the cross, and he cries out, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive Herod. Forgive these people who are enslaved mm-hmm. in this den of sensuality and have given free rein to the flesh of, or under the dominion of Satan." Mm-hmm. Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They're lost. These were his people.
Yeah.
You know, or his the so-called religious people.
Uh-huh.
Who? What did they say? You know, but crucify him. You know, I always find that fascinating. And Bishop Sheen really points that out. God rest his soul. But because as those lambs have been chosen for sacrifice, they had to be unblemished, without stain. And when Pilate brings Jesus before the religious people, so-called, and he says, listen, this man is innocent. I find nothing wrong. He's innocent. And he said, well, that's the man, you know. Crucify him. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, harking back to the words of St. John the Baptist. And then the drama has reached its peak, and he begins that Via Dolorosa. But from that cross, he says, "Forgive them." It's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? Really, the amazing grace. How sweet that are, that saved a wretch like me. You know, to know you can't even imagine. You know, can you imagine? This is God in the flesh. And they're calling for his crucifixion, and they're mocking him, and they're spitting on him, and they strip him naked, and they ridicule, and you know, it's Pilate, it's the Pilate is kind of almost an innocent bystander, right? But he's the one who's going to issue the sentence, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the religious and the non-religious people who are calling for the demise of God in the flesh. Forgive them, they know not what they do. Yeah, interesting. But the point is that persecution is a reality, and Jesus said it the night on the eve of his death, you know, you're not going to be accept. You're not going to be loved in this world. The Blessed Virgin Mary's words to St. Bernadette, you know, when she appeared to her and told her to dig through that the mud, wash in the mud, and this spring comes forth. And to this day, people go to the healing waters of Lourdes. But Our Lady said to Bernadette that, you know, I can't promise you happiness in this life, and the water's not for you, you know. And so these apostles, Peter and Paul and the others, are commissioned, they're sent to go and proclaim the good news, but unto their own death, mm-hmm. under their own rejection. So it's very interesting. Mysterious, no?
Yes.
But we have to share in the uniqueness of Christ Jesus. That what's mysterious is this very special hatred reserved for Christians. Today it's really manifested. And in a very specific way for Catholics, it seems to me, you hear this all the time. It's, well, somebody said it's a prejudice that will not die. But in the public schools today, and Nick Smother comes out of the public school, so forgive me if I'm talking out of line, but this is, you can speak freely about a lot of things, but you can't speak freely about Jesus, Christianity. Is that true or not? Depends on where you are, I guess. It depends on who your administration is and all that. But anyway, but there is a kind of animosity, this mysterious animosity. Satan inspires a certain hatred for Jesus and for the church. You know, and again, as I said yesterday, we in the church, before we take the speck out of our brother's eye, we have to take the plank out of our own. This is what humbles us, as we know we're sinful people, and we have to humbly come before the Lord, asking that we not get in the way, that we not be an impediment to people's coming to know, to love, and to serve Christ. Because certainly the people are kind of forced in a place where they're disposed to receive Christ, but it only comes often after they hit rock bottom, after the toys and the trinkets and all that are taken away. In one way or another, and then we're kind of forced to even make a decision. Do we have the humility to say, you know, I need God? You know, do we have the humility and the grace is there, it'll be given, but do we have the humility to put our hand in the hand of God? Anyway, Jesus said, the prince of this world hates me as I've been hated, so too you will be hated. All right, we'll take a break, Nick, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're running out of energy here in this sweltering heat, you know?
It's steamy hot in here. And yet we're running out of steam.
It's really amazing how that energy is just kind of sucked out of you, you know? But it's very, very hot. and humid, heavy.
It's heavy.
No air conditioning here, so we suffered, though, right?
If there's anybody with thousands of dollars that want to help,
right?
Please,
I could use it for something else, right? Yeah. The, anyway, the other thing is that from this reading is the prayer of faith that the church, when as Peter was imprisoned, you see, they're being martyred. So James was just the brother of John was put to the sword. He was martyred. But as Peter was imprisoned, the church, the scripture says that the church was in, prayed fervently to God. In other words, they were fully stretched. It's a prayer that is stretched out, that is costly, that involves more than just a brief moment. This is a prayer that is persevering, not just saying the Our Father or the prayers of the faithful at Mass, but this is a sort of prayer that involves long hours, time and effort are invested. And isn't this how we're supposed to pray, you know? It's just this ongoing, unceasing prayer, having the mind always raised toward God, always in a sense interceding on behalf of others. You know, we have our formal prayer time. We can say our prayers, certainly, but to live in this persevering prayer, unceasing prayer, as Scripture calls us, Jesus talked about that, St. Paul speaks about that, by and by, the need to be patient and persevering in prayer while we're waiting for God to answer. So this is the church in fervent prayer. Again, we have to apply that to our lives. And it really comes in suffering, doesn't it, really? I was just talking to somebody this morning, and she was telling me, you know, how for a long time she didn't like to hear about the suffering, you know. But in fact, when you hit rock bottom, when you're forced into some kind of suffering, it really, you know, it calls forth from us this kind of humility that says, I'm going to put my hand in God's hand. And not know, you know, we can blame God. Certainly people do that, but for, you know, And people do that all the time. They reject God because they look around and say, look at the suffering of the world, look at my suffering, whatever it may be. And, you know, if God is such a good God, a loving God, a merciful God, why am I suffering? But nobody can go through life unscathed. And this is, Jesus doesn't hold that back. He says, you know, in fact, that comes through in the reading too. It's a narrow path. You know, Peter's taking down that narrow alley into freedom. And our journey through life is down through that narrow path. It's the way of the cross, and the church, or not the church, but the world will give us many, many ways to try to escape these sufferings, but we've got to have the courage to endure and to rise above this with patient expectation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Persevering prayer. So it's a patient, persevering prayer. Again, how does the show often begin? I don't think I've been saying it for a long time, but I, your brother, taking the words of John, share with you the endurance, the distress, the endurance, and the kingship of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to persevere, endure, suffer, but in the kingdom, knowing that the victory is ours. We're not going to be defeated. And it's precisely in and through the suffering that we become wise people. If we allow God to walk with us in the suffering, we have to do that. And that means, you know, often God coming to us through others. But the other thing is this prescription of faith in the midst of this fervent prayer, a hidden process begins. So what happens in the reading, the angel is dispatched from heaven, enters the jail, comes to Peter, and what does he say? But rise, right? Get up. So he's called to rise from death, to rise from despairing and doubt, to stand up. And this is a call that comes to all of us. We have to die to sin. We have to rise to new life. We must die to slavery and despair and rise as a free and active agent ready to walk with God. So this is rise, get up. Restrain. The angel tells Peter to put on his cincture, his belt. This is a sign of chastity and continence, restraint. The Christian life cannot be riddled with unchasteness or with other excesses of this world, such as greed and gluttony, these hinder the journey. They weigh us down. Isn't that the truth, though, really?
It's true. Yeah.
Really, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Restrain. This is the discipline of the faith. This is what we don't want today, the discipline of the faith. That's why many reject the faith, because it is a discipline. But it's necessary for the journey, that we're not hindered on the journey, that we're not weighed down. Even as we talk about the news,
right,
how that can weigh us down. And I know I'm guilty of that. You know, I've thought that many times. And I even say sometimes, I'll tell you, Tony, I would say, because at the end of the day, I got to get, what's this?
What's happening here?
Yeah, here, and you, now you can download it, you know. And I'm thinking, I should be using this time for something else, you know, for prayer, you know. But I say, I've been praying all day, so that's what, but it's disturbing, you know.
See, you think, and I hear this a lot too, I don't have time. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. But I mean, there's just times when I find that you just do it. And it's hard to, it's easy to say this, but it's hard when you're, you know, I have to take the kids here, I have to do this, and that little bit of time you have, what do? It seems that you just like squander it away.
Squander it away. That's the thing, you know.
And time goes.
And that's why the unceasing prayer is important.
Right.
Yeah, we keep God always before us, you know, so that we don't get weighed down by these things. It really vie for our attention and can offer us immediate relief from the burden, the drudgery, the monotony of life. Anyway, because it so much of life is is such. The other thing is ready. You know, Peter is told, put on your sandals. In other words, readiness to make a journey. You put on the sandals because you're going to go on a journey. Mothers always say to their children, Nick, your mother probably said this to you, put on your shoes and get ready to go, right? We hear that when we were kids,
right? I never put on my shoes.
No, put on your shoes, get ready to go. We're ready. We have to be ready for the journey. The gospel of peace, set out on the great pilgrimage with Jesus to heaven, up over the hill of Calvary and into glory. Put your shoes on, get ready and go. All right, we'll take a break, final break. We'll come back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration, discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th.
at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Can you hear those birds that are here?
Some birds singing.
Somebody open the window.
Birds came in.
The birds.
The birds.
The birds. Anyway, boy, I tell you, people, you can tell we're just running out of steam. I mean, it is really hot and humid here. It is heavy. I'm just pushing myself through this.
The heat is on.
I hope I'm not boring you, but, you know.
No.
But anyway, I feel like I'm doing an injustice to this scripture.
No, it's fine.
So we're just sharing some of the lessons on faith from Peter's time in jail. Today's the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. But the other thing is, you know, the angel says, you know, Peter is then told to put on a cloak, his cloak, and this is symbolizes righteousness. In other words, it's many places in the scripture, in the Book of Revelation, the saints are dressed in linen robes. The linen robe is the righteousness of the saints. The wedding guest, one of whom was not properly clothed, was therefore thrown out. Jesus gave us that parable. At baptism, what does the priest do? But he puts on the white garment, points to the white garment worn by the infant, and tells everyone to see in this white garment the outward sign of the baby's dignity as a Christian, and that we bring that garment unstained to the great judgment seat of Christ. All right, so righteousness. And then the angel says, run, follow me, run the race of faith. Toward the end of his life, St. Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Jesus told the disciples simply, follow me. The other thing is, I'm just struggling to get this, I have no energy whatsoever,
It's fine.
The profession of faith, procession. Mm-hmm. I want this to get over with. I want this procession. Hour to be done with, the procession of faith. There comes this instruction from the angel to Peter. It's not easy, They got to pass the first guard, then they got to go past the second, finally come to the iron gate. Our journey, in other words, is through many obstacles, many dangers. We must recall that we live in paradise lost. Life is not easy. There are hurdles and perils. We're not called to avoid them. We're called to face them with courage. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're there in life to test us,
mm-hmm.
to see if we're going to follow Peter's example, move past the one guard, then the second, and then apparently the locked gate, which God opens.
Mm-hmm.
God opens.
Huh, I never saw it that way.
Absolutely, Christina. So you take something from the show, huh? life is not easy,
no,
but God's grace conquers the challenge if we only trust Him. Jesus, I trust in you. It's a narrow gate. The text describes a narrow alley through which Peter and the angel pass. Jesus spoke of the way that leads to salvation as a narrow path. Why is this so? Because the narrow way is the cross. We just talked about that, right? People are not interested in this difficult path, the path that is steep and narrow. We look for the broad highway through the valley, the easy way, exactly. The world will insist that we live in paradise, but the fact is we do not.
Do not.
We do not. Life should, the world says, well, life should be easy. Well, it's not. It's a lie. And we all know that, right?
And then people try to take the easy shortcuts.
Way. Yeah.
Always the shortcuts.
Shortcuts, and it makes
That's our natural inclination to do that. Who wants to suffer, really?
That's why the Israelites were 40 years in the desert, because they tried to take a shortcut. Got lost.
Exactly. He says, the Monsignor says, avoid preachers who never mention sin, who never speak of repentance, who never talk about struggles and difficulties. Avoid them. So this is, but I mentioned the other day, somebody said, because I mentioned in the homily about, God is a God of law and order. And he said, that was, how did he say that? That was hurtful or that
and
was
uncomfortable?
In other words, you should avoid anything that's uncomfortable, anything that is hurtful.
Yeah, go to the happy church.
Exactly, right.
Or life is,
Life is.
I think it's in those moments too. Believe it or not, and I think it seems harsh, but people are in those stages, and that's how you say Jesus sat there in silence.
Yeah.
I think you can't be the one to say, to ignore that. It has to be. it's to your benefit that this is what you hear, because I think this is the, people don't hear this. People want to hear this. Mm-hmm. They want to hear the easy way.
Easy way, yeah,
and if you
sure.
keep telling them the easy way, you become the happy priest.
You know who, you know, exactly. You know who wants to hear the hard way are those who suffer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Those who suffer, they don't want the prosperity preacher who says, mm-hmm. you know.
Because they know the reality is the other. Life mm-hmm. will throw things at us that are not comfortable at all.
Well, that's why I mentioned, I was speaking to somebody this morning who mm-hmm. entered into a very deep suffering but never wanted to hear the message of the cross. You know, it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be. But when you're thrust into suffering, yeah. then you're looking for somebody to tell you the truth, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. It's you know, and that's why I tell the kids this all the time, the students. So the church isn't going to deceive you. Certainly, I cannot in conscience deceive you and say you're like, this is always at the graduations, you know, when those graduation talks are always, again, Nick's mother would know this probably. Yeah. But all, you know, the world is yours, you
right,
go conquer, you know, the fact is it's mm-hmm. not easy. It's not easy. And life requires of us sure. courage and humility.
And we have to tell people, that, especially right. the young kids that are graduating, tell them the truth, because what happens when mm-hmm. something, when crisis hits, they won't know what to do.
But then there's that other side that you just don't want to tell them that. You don't want to discourage them.
Well, you know,
them.
And I can understand mm-hmm. that. We don't want, you know, I don't want my son, my daughter to suffer.
Right.
Who wants that? Nobody wants that for the children. But the fact is that tough love, you know, where somebody, you know, parent has to sometimes, you've got to go through this.
This is the reality.
You know, I'm standing here. I'm here to support you. I'm here to guide you through. But you've got to suffer it. You'll survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll survive. But see, this is where we've got to be grounded.
Yeah.
And so blessed are the children who mm-hmm. have parents who inculcate the faith,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It reminds me of that movie. I've mentioned it before, Ray Charles.
Uh-huh.
When he was born, he started losing his eyesight as a child, and he fell one time. I'll never forget that scene.
Oh,
it's
sure,
a powerful
yeah.
scene mm-hmm. where he fell, and he's like, Mama, help me. Help me to get up. And the mother was in the corner crying, and she's like, no, you're going to have to do it yourself, because I'm not always going to be there, because the world will not be there to help you. Actually, they will want to destroy you, and you have to stand on your own strong.
Yeah.
So she's like, you get up on your own. And it was hard for her. She was crying, but she saw him suffering, but she said, I can't.
Yeah.
You have to do
it. Yeah, that's a powerful image.
That's very powerful, yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing is in the reading, the angel disappeared. We're out of time. Angel disappears, but until this point, he needed an angel. And though, and while we talk about demons, they roam and they patrol the earth, God has angels as well. See, we can't, we've got to know that we've been assigned an angel,
mm-hmm.
that we have, I was telling this person this morning, we've got to get back into the mysticism of our faith, you know. But we survive together, because we're together grounded in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be that light in darkness and help each other to weather the storms and to fight the good fight, and but in a realistic way, right? All right, everybody. Boy, we're glad this is over. This is just so hot in here, and I hope it's cool wherever you are, you know. But have a blessed weekend, a wonderful 4th of July already. I can say that, Independence Day. Freedom, not free reign to the flesh, but we submit to the Spirit, and we're truly a free people. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Keep
a truth or sit on the fence. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so